afternoon, and welcome to Let's Talk, The Pastor Is In. I'm program host Kip Allen. Let's Talk's the program for the Christian layman, you know, the Lutheran who believes but has questions. In short, the program's designed for someone just like me, because, you know, there's a lot I don't understand. It doesn't have to be something soul-shaking. It might just be something that I've been thinking about for a while. And I find that rather than getting into a deep theological discussion, sometimes a casual front porch-style talk of the pastor is the best way to understanding. That's what this program is all about. Today's guest is Lance O'Donnell from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. I have my questions. I am sure you have yours. You can send questions by email at any time to letstalk@kfuo.org or call in during the program. If you're in the St. Louis area, and that includes Metro East, call us at 314-821-0850. Or anywhere in the lower 48, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-730-2727. Lance, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Kip.
Oh, boy, I tell you. This is something that's been on my mind for a while. Okay, it's not earth-shaking or what have you, but I have noticed that a lot of the pastors around here have a lot of children. Now, I know you do as well. In fact, I think this is your daughter's birthday, isn't it?
The oldest of the four is, her 22nd birthday today, my daughter Siobhan.
And I know that a lot of the... A lot of the pastors, the missionaries I've spoken to, are also adopting children.
We also did that, yeah.
Well, tell me about that one.
How people thought we were crazy?
Well, a little bit of both.
Well, you know, Kip, my dad was the fourth of 12 children.
Oh, good heavens.
You know, a big Roman Catholic family. And so not a single one of my aunts or uncles had more than three children, you know, including my mom and dad. And all my cousins, we all had to have our own rooms. But, you know, my dad's family, I mean, they were poor. You know, my dad and his younger brother, PJ, who's younger by 10 months, Irish twins, right?
Yeah, right. You
know, they had the biggest paper route in the city of Saginaw, Michigan, that literally put bread and butter on the table while my grandfather was very ill. And, you know, most of my aunts and uncles, my father among them, you know, limited their families to three at max because they didn't want their kids to be poor. They wanted to give their kids every opportunity, so on and so forth. You know, but I looked at them and I saw, I mean, you know, my dad was, when he died at 50, he was managing two GM parts plants, a successful man. I have an uncle who is a very wealthy entrepreneur. He said a couple of his students were on Shark Tank, the TV show. You know, doctors, professionals, you know, my uncle PJ was retired as the deputy comptroller of Delco Electronics Division, General Motors. Another uncle was the chief information officer for Case International. You know, they came from big families and they didn't have a lot and they all did just fine. And so I thought, you know, you don't have to pay for your kids' college. If you've got to work for it, that's okay. And I just saw, how they treated my grandmother, who was just treated as a queen in her old age, cared for. I don't know. I fell in love with the big family. And that was my desire for a long time, to have a bigger family, and God didn't allow us to have as big a family as maybe I would have liked.
So that's where the adoption came in?
And that's where the adoption came in. So, you know, my wife came from a family. She was the oldest of two, and I was the oldest of three. And I kind of want a bigger family, and it's, in some respects, it's silly, you know, to put a number on how many kids you want. You know, I had, my number was four, and her number was two, or six, and her number was two, and so we compromised at four, and, you know, and then Siobhan came along 22 years ago today, and then while we were on vicarage, my wife miscarried for the first time.
Sorry.
And that was that turned out to be a pivotal moment in our marriage and in our family. Which I'm willing to talk about, but you know, that may be a different subject. So in any case, we had three biological children, six miscarriages. The last one, my wife almost died.
Oh, gee.
And so we had to shut it down. And, you know, I'll never forget, Kip, you know, Carrie gave birth to this. The baby was going to be born, and we weren't going to be able to save him. So we were hoping that he would be able to be born alive and that I would be able to baptize him before he died. And so we put the little fetal monitor on her as she was in labor. You know, she went into labor really early and we couldn't stop it. And she was dying. We listened to his little heartbeat fade away.
Oh, dear.
And that was a terrible day. And I'll never forget. I held this tiny little 20-week-old baby in my hand. And Carrie said, "Lance, it's not going to end like this." I had no idea what that meant at the time, but it turned out that we adopted internationally as a result. So our youngest is 13, and he is a full-blooded Mayan born in Guatemala and a great joy for us.
Well, my family had it a little bit differently. My mother's family, they were the Lutherans, and my mother was one of five sisters. One of whom?
Where was she in the order?
She was the oldest.
Five sisters.
Five sisters.
Was your grandfather a terror as a child or something?
No, he was a minister.
Was he? I love it.
But on my dad's side, they were a Presbyterian, Scots Presbyterians. And Dad was an only child. And then when he and my mother married, they only had two kids, my brother and myself. Actually, there was a third, but she had miscarried. Now, this is where I'm going to bring up my personal story.
Yeah.
To be honest, Lance, I never wanted children.
Yeah.
I don't like children as a whole. That's a horrible thing to say, but I don't like being around them.
Okay.
My late wife was pregnant one time, and she did miscarry. And while I was obviously very upset for her sake, you know, she was devastated by it.
Yep.
I got to say, I was not sorry that I was not going to be a father. Now, is that bad?
Why do you think that? Why were you? You've thought about this for years. Why were you not sad that you didn't want to be a father?
Because this child that we had formed was not going to be. I was perfectly willing to accept the fact that I was going to be a father. I didn't like it, but I did accept the fact.
Sure.
And then when she miscarried, you know, on the one hand, I was terribly sorry for her. On the other, as I said, I was happy. And how can a man be happy that his wife has miscarried? And that's what's been bugging me all these years.
How did that make... So... So you were sorry for her,
mm-hmm.
but you were happy that you didn't have to be a father.
Yes.
And so... So why were you happy that you didn't have to be a father?
Because I never wanted to be a father.
Well, right, and now, yeah, so, all right, you're sitting on the front porch with the pastor here, and so I'm going to ask the annoying question.
Okay, go ahead.
So why did you not want to be a father?
I can't explain it. It's just I've never wanted it. I remember, really, when I was a teenager, I remember telling my mother that I couldn't see myself as being a father, and I didn't want to have children. And, of course, she thought up to her dying day that it was just a phase I was going through. But
Well, you've obviously thought about this, or you have. I mean, it would seem to bizarre to me that you haven't.
Oh no, I thought about it a lot.
Why did you not want to be a father? Other than you just didn't want to be for some reason.
A combination of the impact it would have on my life. You know, when you have a children, you know, the children have got to come first. Another thing was, I didn't think I'd be a very good father. As I said,
now, why would you think that? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but why in the world would you think that?
Because as I said, I don't really like children. I don't like being around them. I remember.
Now, does that, you don't like being around them, or you're afraid of it, or
Okay. Well, here's another story I will tell you. I guess I was about 20, 21 when this happened. A friend of mine had a newborn child, and I'd gone over to their house, and he kept offering the newborn to me to hold, and I just freaked. No! I don't want to hold that thing.
Oh,
and I didn't phrase it like that, but
right. No, well, many would. So that's I'm not offended. I'm sorry for asking the annoying question. This is fascinating to me. So why?
It terrified me. I don't know why.
You don't know why. Okay, so I was going to ask. You know, why did holding the child terrify you? But you don't know why.
No, it's just I just wanted no part of it.
That's so very fascinating. No, I'm genuinely intrigued. And you haven't done a lot of deep thinking about why that is?
I've thought about it off and on. A lot of men, in fact, I'll say most of the men I know, are quite happy with the idea of having children. In fact, they think about it. My brother, for example, he's had two sons, and this was definitely something that he wanted to do. I sometimes wonder if maybe there is something lacking in me, because I don't know if it's biological or what, but I honestly do not have any paternal feelings. I never wanted one.
Well, there is at least a tinge of selfishness there, in that. You said you didn't want to have kids, because of how it would impact your life, and you knew once the kid came, you know, that you had to focus on the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Which said you really wanted to focus on you. That's an inherently kind of me center thing.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, you didn't say because I want to serve the Lord. Or that, there is some inherently kind of self-centeredness there. Does that seem wrong to you, my assessment?
I'm not sure, Lance. As I say, I never felt the urge. I never
sure.
felt the need to have children. Most men that I know do have the
right.
feeling that they need to have children, that they
right.
want.
Well,
and I never have.
I wonder, because there are some people that you meet, and you've probably met dozens of them, maybe hundreds of them along the way. Some people that you meet that person should have never had children.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
you've met those that. There's some deeply spiritual, maybe, biological, mental thing. They shouldn't have children. That doesn't mean children are always a gift of God, however the parents are. But, there are some people you meet along the way that shouldn't.
Oh, I know.
There are some that are afraid, and there's some that jump into this headlong, and a lot of in between there.
Yeah, they don't think about exactly what's going to happen with that. I've spoken to a number of of people who have worked in the pregnancy centers, and
sure.
And even some who were had been in abortion centers and then changed their mind and went over to the pro-life side. But one of the things that they told me that I've heard again and again and again is that so many of the young girls who get pregnant say, "Oh, well, I want this because this is something that's just going to love me." And they don't understand what on earth is going to happen to them when that child is born.
Right. Yeah. A baby is a little different than a dog.
Yeah. you know, kiss it goodbye sleeping at night, you know. Forget about your social life. You don't have one, you know, on and on and on like that. You know, especially if the girls involved decided that they really didn't need a father around. And that's another thing I've heard.
All right. So, obviously we're on the radio here, so you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to.
Okay, shoot.
You felt like this from the time you were a kid.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And did that impact your woman you fell in love with and married, your first wife?
Yeah, it did. I mean, she knew
I didn't. Who you chose?
Yeah, and she knew I did not want children. She did, and then of course we had the pregnancy, and I to this day I don't know, that was planned or just an accident or what have you. But yeah, it was an issue, and I've always been very upfront with it with every woman I've ever been involved in all my life is that I did not want children.
Well, at least you were up front.
Yeah.
And so what's your first wife's name? Remind me her name.
Sandy.
So, but she wanted children. Did she want a child, or she wanted a pile of children, or whatever God would send, or?
She never mentioned a number, frankly. I know that she definitely wanted children. She told me that a number of times, and as I said, you know.
And she still married you. You must have been something else.
Hey, you know, devastatingly handsome, you know.
Right. You must have been pretty special. She still married you.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of surprised me.
And so, right, so, and you were how old when the two of you got married?
I was in my 30s.
Okay.
And actually, she was in her 40s.
Yeah, she was a little older.
Yeah, she's older than me.
Yeah, you guys were almost past childbearing age by that time.
Very close to it, and I'm sure that had something to do with her miscarriage.
Sure. But she wanted kids, and she married you anyway. So how did those conversations go early in your marriage?
Lance, you're coming in very strange on my headset. You almost sounded like you're breathing helium.
Is that better?
No, you're still sounding like Mickey Mouse.
Okay, well let's take a break and call me back because there's something, you know, you're sounding fine on my end.
Okay, fine. I'm going to ask Stephanie, my producer here, to give you a call back on this thing because we've obviously got something wrong on the line here. So, okay, I'll have her call you back. So that's what we've been talking about. Is there anyone out there who has had the same feeling that I have? That is that you didn't want children, and yet you're still a Christian. And that's something else, again, you know, I read in the Bible, be fruitful and multiply the whole thing. There's a lot going on. And I'm struggling with that in my own conscience. I mean, is this something against God? Does he want us to? Does he want me to? I just don't know. I'd be really curious to hear what anyone has to say about that. And let's see if I can get Stephanie's attention. Ah, there she is, the nice lady. Stephanie is quite literally a godsend here at KFUO. She does so much behind the scenes that people will never see or never hear or never know, but we couldn't function without her. She is indeed a wonderful lady. And, you know, we got a bunch of people here behind the scenes at KFUO who do contribute to things like that. We have, for example, Jenny Williams, who's our senior producer. I'm sure you probably don't hear her on the air very often, but again, without her, we couldn't do half the programs that we do. We have Mary Schmidt, who is the director of management, who's our, I'm always forgetting Mary's title. She's our community outreach person. She's the one who goes out and gets people to listen to us and to perhaps donate to our cause. She's the one who does a lot of planning for things. For example, our annual luncheon with our donors, things like that. She works very, very hard on that. And then there's our general manager's right-hand lady, a wonderful lady named Sydney. And Sydney, believe me, Gary could not function without Sydney. Okay, Lance, I think we got you back.
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. That's good. Boy, that was weird.
That is weird.
I said to myself, golly, is he sniffing the helium again?
You know. It's like that video that I shared with you on Facebook a few weeks ago where the guys that were, they're drinking helium and helium-soaked beer.
Yes, that was hilarious.
That was a scream.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad, by the way, that you asked this question because because it's challenging me. I always get the other side of this. I'm dealing with couples, you know, who want to have children but can't.
Yeah.
Your particular dilemma, as it were, of not wanting to is not a question that I've dealt with very much in my almost 20 years as a pastor. I'm thankful for the question, and I'm hope I'm not being a total dolt in responding to you.
No, not at all. I mean, these are questions that I've asked myself for a long time. My late wife and I were married for 32 years. You know, so mm-hmm. so it, you know, something that went way, way back, and a bunch of questions, you know, in life that I always will ask myself, and I will never quite get an answer to. That's one is the issue of the child.
Why I didn't want to be a father,
right.
and you're not sure why.
And I'm not sure why, and I'm also not sure that this was not a decision that God would frown upon.
Well, if he had given you a child to raise, I know that the answer to that question is he wanted you to be a father. You know, if that baby had lived, the answer was, and my guess is you would have been a great dad, even if you would have freaked out at first.
Well, I like to think I might have. I don't know. You know, I grew up in a very loving family.
Right.
You know, my parents were terrific to me, and I know both my parents were very happy that they had children. As I said, my brother definitely wanted children. And then there's me. Why did I not want to from the very beginning, from the very earliest?
That is really fascinating to me. Because I don't know very many men like you. It is genuinely fascinating to me. Yeah, if we had a long time in the porch, I would, and we weren't on the radio, I would really probe the where does this come from kind of thing. Because it is genuinely fascinating to me.
Well, biblically, does God expect us to have children? Does he mandate that we multiply?
Well, I mean, that is part of the, right, that even before the fall into sin, right, that's part of the creation is, you know, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That mm-hmm. is part of the purpose of marriage, without a doubt. That said, the Old Testament is also, you know, it usually, though we don't have it coming from your perspective, But the Old Testament deals, openly with, a number of cases where people, wanted to have children and couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
And
Abraham.
Without a doubt, right?
Yeah.
Sarah. I mean, one of the central, central biblical narratives. Sarah isn't able to have children. The not wanting to is, you're a bit of a unicorn. That's a bit unusual, and I'm not trying to pick on you. I mean, you raised the subject, though.
Yeah, I did. And it's something that I've questioned. I won't go so far as to say it's something that bothers me, but it's something I have questioned for most of my life. Lance, we got to take a little break here, but I think we need to explore this a lot more.
Absolutely.
All righty. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
A 5-year-old boy once observed, "God has the whole world in his hands, but sometimes he drops it." Hear how Dr. Dale Meyer responded to that young philosopher in a classic Lutheran Hour message titled, "Over the Darkness, God Hovers." Archives August continues this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Often what is unknown feels threatening, but sometimes it can be affirmed as part of the holy mystery of life. On the next Sing for Joy, you'll hear music that celebrates the known and unknown of life in God's world. Join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concord Matters is the program where we seek to be of one mind, that is, the mind of Christ. And to do that, Christ-confessing Concordians read through and discuss the Book of Concord, which is our Lutheran confession of faith drawn from Holy Scripture, so that you too may be of one mind and confess with Christ. Be sure to listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central on KFUO Radio, or anytime on KFUO.org or anywhere you get your podcasts. Until we convene for Concord again, keep confessing, Church.
Before the printing press made books more available, the public reading of scriptures was one of the primary ways the Bible was learned and passed on.
Set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching.
In the second century, Justin Martyr wrote First Apology, a defense of Christianity, in which he describes that on Sundays, quote, the memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits.
Tertullian later taught, we meet together in order to read the sacred texts. We feed our faith. We arouse our hope. We confirm our confidence.
Engage with the Bible, this book of books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Let's Talk, the Pastor's Inn. I'm program host Kip Allen. Guest pastor today is Lance O'Donnell. And we're talking about not wanting to have children. Now, if you have some thoughts on that issue, you can email us at letstalk@kfuo.org. Or you can call us if you're in the St. Louis area. That's area code 314-821-0850, and that includes Metro East. And anywhere in the lower 48, you can call us at 1-800-730-2727, toll free. And Lance, we actually have a caller here who hopefully can shed some light on this. That is Cheryl, one of our longtime listeners. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Hi. Yeah, I've been listening, and when you said when you got married, you didn't want to have children, mm-hmm. I could identify with that. I'm about your age. Things did not work out for me the way that they did for you. I ended up having two children, and now I have, I have four grandchildren and one on the way.
Wow.
Well, I know why I didn't want to have children. I was afraid that I would be like my mom was with me. My brother, my two-year-old brother, almost drowned in the neighbor's pond.
Oh.
My mom, immediately after he was rescued, my mom accused me of wanting him to die.
Oh, Lord.
I was four. I remember that.
Oh,
and
that's horrible.
Other things, she was harsh with me and always critical of me, and I did not want to be like that. I was afraid to have children, and my husband thought otherwise. He said, "You want somebody to say, 'Mommy, I love you.'" Well, so he kind of talked me into it.
Sure.
And I had the two children, and they're, you know, they're out of the house now. They're 1's 37 and 1's 34. And she actually, my daughter actually lives in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, well, maybe she's listening.
Yeah, and she attends a local congregation. I won't say which. I'll get people. And my son lives about 45 minutes north of us. We're in Indianapolis, and he's 45 minutes north. So anyway, with all the COVID and stuff, we have that really hurts the contact. And I really, really enjoy having the grandkids. And it's just, you know, I realize now that having the children and having the grandchildren, what a blessing it is. Even though I was, you know, not wanting to do this, afraid. But God calls us in baptism to be his own dear child. And Jesus Christ paid the price for all my sins and all my reluctance to do his will. And there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And it took me a long time to really get to this point, but I have this little children's book that's based on the hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It.
Mm-hmm.
I have read this to my grandchildren and given them all this for their baptism. Every time a grandchild is baptized, I give them this children's book. You can get it through CPH. But that the second verse starts out, sin disturb my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. I have comfort even stronger, Jesus, cleansing sacrifice. And so I realize, you know, God just works through all the stuff that we put out, and he has called it for his own purpose, and he does the same for you, too. wanted to say that because I could identify with what you said, and I'm like,
Cheryl, I'm so glad you called in and shared that with us.
Okay.
Well, Lance, what do you think about that?
Cheryl went exactly where I was going to go.
Ah.
Right. I mean, you know, we all, I think we all have aspects of ourselves that are part of who we are that we end up asking, why am I like this?
Yeah.
And you know, yours strikes me as, I mean, the whatever that is for each of us, it's challenging. I would suggest, more challenging than many, because it's so far outside the mainstream. and would have you feeling, I would imagine, perhaps lonely?
Not lonely necessarily, just I don't understand. I'll give you, for instance, now, you know, I've remarried, and yep. My current wife, she's had four sons. They're all married. They all have children, the whole thing. And my wife just lights up whenever she sees her grandkids. And that's something I just can't quite share.
Yeah.
Not just because they're not my grandchildren. Well, yeah, I'm a foster grandfather. I guess I am.
Sure. Step grandfather. Yeah.
I've been called that a couple of times. I'm always shocked when that happens. I was one time. One of her sons once introduced me to one of his friends as his stepfather. I said, "Say what? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. That's what I am."
But
you know, there is a mystery. You know, that aspect of there's a mystery here, you know, about us that I think you have to accept. And, you know, I mean, there are how many people in the Bible where you say, you know, I don't understand, you know, why this is, but this is the way I am. And this is, I think, where Cheryl was going is, you know, you rest in Christ's grace. I don't understand this aspect of who I am, but you know, I thank God that He has called me by name.
I have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. There's no doubt in my mind that has gone on, and I know that I'm a child of God, that I've been created by Him. But you know, like I say in the program intro, there's a lot I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, and that's right, and that's your Cheryl. I mean, that's Cheryl took you right to your you know, our baptismal identity, right? That God has claimed us as His own. I'm, you know, you're His, and that's you know, that is it is an interesting aspect of you. God sometimes takes our even our faults and our fears.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, this is Romans 8:28. God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Right? And you and your baptism are obviously called according to His purpose. And, you know, so you ended up, for whatever the reasons were, afraid to be a father, didn't want to be a father, whatever it was, you were, and then you weren't. You know, how did God, over the years, use that fatherlessness of yours? Was there any good that came out of it?
Personally, I think there was a lot of good that came out of it. But again, this is something I'm still questioning. And one thing, you know, for example, when we do confession of sins at church,
yep,
should I confess that? I don't want children?
Did you ever confess that?
No. I have asked why. I look for enlightenment in that. But I have not asked for forgiveness. I'm wondering if maybe I should.
Why not? The Romans 8, you know, the groaning's too deep for words. Well, it is, you know, let's be honest here. It is when we enter into marriage, this is in many respects part of the deal. You know, we're not guaranteed that we have children, but that's part of the promise that we make is, you know, if the Lord should grant us children, that they are to be brought up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. You know, the command is there, be fruitful and, you know, and multiply.
Well, then are you saying that marriage would be invalid without children? I mean,
no, absolutely not.
No.
You know, because otherwise you'd have to, you know, that's clearly not the case.
Yeah.
You know, and there are countless examples of it, but it is clearly a normative part of God's design in a marriage. And you know, that what it didn't happen for you. I mean, or you had a child, and you know, the Lord took that child to himself, and you guys didn't have the chance to raise him.
Lance, looks like we got another caller on the line.
Sure.
This is Lee. Lee, welcome to the program.
Oh, yes. This is Lee from Akamanawak. I'm laughing because this is through your show. This is how I started going to Pastor O'Donnell's church. And so we just get a kick out of this because it's Akamanawak.
Akamanawak.
It's such, yeah. And we just get a kick out of this. It's just a dear child has many names. So anyway, hello. With the first comment, I just got home from picking up the dog, so I don't mean to retract what you guys had already discussed if I missed something. But with the comment that the command was to be fruitful and fill the earth, some might argue that the earth is pretty full. So is that command as relevant as it once was when we needed to put Christians in every country so that we could spread the word? Just a thought. I just was curious how you'd want to respond to that.
What do you say, Lance?
Yes. Yes. It still stands. And so since Lee is on the phone, I'll reiterate something I think I said at her son's wedding last year. The world needs people who know Christ. The world needs people who know Christ's love. And so, you know, I encourage the couples when I officiate their weddings, I encourage them to have children. You know, because the world needs, we have enough anger and hatred. You know, the world needs people who know what it is to be loved and to love.
And you know, Lance, you've been drinking that helium beer again.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I got the same problem here. So I'm going to sign it off again, and we're going to have Stephanie call you back again. Boy, she's really getting her workout today, I tell you. Because she really works hard. She does things that I wouldn't know how to do. That's another thing. And I always pride myself on being a radio professional. In fact, this September the 4th, will be 50 years that day that I first went on the air. I was doing a newscast for WSIE-FM in Edwardsville, Illinois. And I was so frightened, I choked up on the air. Oh, I had the worst case of mic fright. It was just horrible. But eventually I got over it. And, you know, I got over it because I try to, you know, all the little tricks that they teach you. Now, well, just picture that one person out there and talk to them, or think of them all without their clothes on. That's funny. You know, that's another thing. It just never worked for me. But one day it happened. I committed the rookie's mistake. The mic was hot, and I didn't realize it. And I said something I really shouldn't have said. The type of thing that would not only get you fired, but fined. I mean, back in those days, the FCC was really, really fierce about that. And nothing happened. No calls, no cards, no letters. And that's when I realized, hey, there's nobody out there. What are you afraid of? And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Lance, here we go again.
Yeah, sorry for the trouble. I don't know what in the world's going on. I hear you perfectly on my end.
Yeah, what's that helium beer you're drinking?
That sounds like a great idea for tonight, actually. That would be a scream.
I'm definitely going to have a couple tonight, I got to tell you.
There might be some young men that are listening or that will listen in the future. And if I may, I'd like to say, if you don't go into fatherhood afraid, you're a fool. We should be a little afraid. It is, it's an amazing thing to be given the privilege of being a father, and very, very challenging. So don't, you know, so many kids choose be strong and courageous type of verses from Joshua or elsewhere. And it's cliche, but it's true that to be called to be a parent is a fearsome thing. And, you know, you don't know what's ahead of you, but in the process of raising a child, you come to the end of yourself, and you learn more deeply to trust and lean on Christ. And so I would encourage people, you know, if you're afraid of being a parent, get married and have children, and you'll see God will do things in you that you didn't think possible.
And it will also change your perspective, making you realize you are not the center of the universe, that there are things more important than you. Now, supposedly, you know, being married, you know that that's true of your spouse, but you know, your spouse is an adult, and that person has a certain amount of independence and ability to survive. Not so with a newborn.
Without a doubt. Although just being married, it is in itself a call out of selfishness and into a relationship and other focus. Just being married all by itself is a, dare I say, a sanctifying event.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, that's the difference between marriage and civil union.
Right, and you and I have talked about this over the time. I know your wife had a lot of pain, you know, and you had to care for her in some difficulty for many years. I know that was very difficult for her, and very, very difficult also for you.
Yeah, those were some very unpleasant years.
But in the, you know, we picked up over conversation over time. You know, it's clear to me anyway that somehow the Lord worked through that to draw you to Him, and gave you my sense of things from talking to you over the last couple of years is an increased level of compassion and understanding. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think you're right to a large extent there. You know, especially toward the end there, she was totally, totally dependent on me, just like a little child would be. And one thing you bordered on it here, and I'll go into it a little bit. I know we've discussed this before, but I think it bears restatement, is I hit a point shortly before her death where I was angry at her for what this was doing to me. And then I would sit down and I think to myself, my God, she's the one dying, not you.
Yeah.
And, oh, I was so ashamed by that. And that's when I got back to the church. I called a pastor out there. I was a member of a church out there, our Savior's community.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a very active member, but I called him, and we had a long sit down and had a long talk, and he explained a lot of things to me. And yeah, that was the point where I came back.
And in the midst of that, in recognizing, you know, this is, marriage is like a crucible. it just is. And you know, and we get the Lord kind of grinds us together and refines us, and we realize you know, some good things about us. We also realize some foolish and sinful things about ourselves, and the Lord will work through His word and calls us, right? I mean, that's what you just...
Hello there. Oh, boy. Well, we lost Lance again. Oh, we're having all sorts of fun here with our phones, aren't we? Well, yeah, you know, we're talking about childhood, about not wanting children or wanting children, and what is the role of that with what does the Bible say? You know, the Bible says, you know, obviously be fruitful and multiply. And there was my situation where I never wanted children, and that really was with me all my life from the very beginning. My early teens, I was saying, no, why should I do this? I don't see any point to it. And I also do not understand why a woman voluntarily will put herself through that kind of agony, 9 months of caring the child with all the problems that are involved in that, and then, of course, the actual pain of childbirth, and then all the problems in raising that infant. And you know, the women suffer a lot more than men do when it comes to this. Ah, there we go, Lance. Hello?
Yeah, sorry, this has been bizarre.
I know. I just heard this bonk, and you were gone.
This is my colleague, pastoral colleague here, and I often remark, based on the previous senior pastor's comment, that the Satan is always in the microphone in church.
He must have spent a lot of time in commercial radio, I could tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, boy,
I tell you, that's one of these days we're going to have to sit down and talk about commercial radio. Boy, can I tell you, it sails about that.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, where I was talking there and it cut off. So, but you know, you discovered Christ's forgiveness more deeply in the context of recognizing your own sinfulness in marriage.
Yeah, I did, and more importantly, recognizing that that God understood. He understood what I meant, what I was going through, and he still forgave me.
Yep.
And boy, that's amazing.
And so also, Kip, with the confession, I don't want to be a father. So also with that.
Yeah. And fortunately, the question never arose again after the miscarriage. But
well, here we are, all these years later. And we're talking about it.
Yeah, we are. As I say, there's a lot I don't understand. And as you know, I look at you, I look at so many of the people here, good Lutherans all, and so many of them, they just live to have children.
My reasons for the bigger family are a little bit more complex.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some of my younger pastor friends, I think are just more faithful than I am and trust the Lord and recognize that the children are a gift of God and they don't want to get in the way of that. And so they have as many, you know, part of my rationale as a younger adult was, quite frankly, you know, I had been a fool as a young man in how I conducted myself.
Well, to be a young man is to be a fool, I've decided.
And, you know, I did some things that I regret. And part of the reason I wanted a bigger family is, I don't know, you can't undo those things. But
no, you can't.
I let my sinful nature get the better of me in college and did some things of which I'm ashamed. And I was thankful once I was married to have the opportunity to do things of which I could be proud.
Yeah. And it it takes a while. I know it sure took me a long time. You know, because I had a lot of professional success through the years, but it was lacking. And actually working here has really driven that home to me, because that now I'm really doing something that's important, something that truly matters. You know, when I'm working for a commercial station, you know, even though I think that getting out the news is vitally important to our society, it's very, very important. But bottom line is that I'm just trying to improve the ratings for the station owner so that we can increase our revenue. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But
nope.
This is so much more.
Well, you know, right? We talked about this the last time we were together.
Yeah.
Good, honest news is really important right now. I mean, it always has been, but it's really important right now. So, you know, for people working in commercial radio, just not, you know, not being just yellow journalists, but making sure people have facts that are reliable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's I thank God for those people because I need that right now. And this is, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago when we were together.
Yeah, we did. And I remember I sent you that letter from the New York Times columnist.
From Barry Weiss.
Yeah, Barry Weiss. And now there's another producer, this one with MSNBC, who has also resigned and put out an interesting letter on what the modern journalism, quote unquote, is, where she said one of her people, a very seasoned newsman, said, you know, people don't tune in to us for news anymore. They tune in for comfort.
Sure.
And well, Lance, speaking of comfort, we're coming to the end of the program. Any final thoughts in about 15 seconds?
Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. You know, rest in his peace and forgiveness, and that covers all our sins, thank God.
Lance, thank you so much. As usual, it has been an eye-opening experience and an ear-opening experience to work with Lance O'Donnell. And I'm pressing all the wrong buttons here. Here we go. There we go. So thanks again, Lance. I really appreciate it. Let's talk. The pastor is in.
You've been listening to The Pastor Is In, a weekly chance to chat with a pastor. Your support is vital for this program to continue. To learn about giving opportunities, call Mary at 314-996-1518. You can make a gift safe, secure, and easily online at KFUO.org. Thank you for listening and supporting The Pastor Is In on Worldwide KFUO.